though Muldoon thought it highly unlikely that they would ever find any remains of the children. But as he looked in now, he had a surprise. "I'll be damned," he said. Muldoon tried to put the scene together. The front windshield of the Land Cruiser was shattered, but there wasn't much glass nearby. He had noticed shards of glass back on the road, so the windshield must have been broken back there before the Tyrannosaur picked the car up and threw it here. But the car had taken a tremendous beating. Muldoon shone his light inside. "Empty?" Gennaro said tensely. "Not quite," Muldoon said. His flashlight glinted off a crushed radio handset, and on the floor of the car he saw something else, something curved and black. The front doors were dented and jammed shut, but he climbed in through the back door and crawled over the seat to pick up the black object. "It's a watch," he said, peering at it in the beam of his flashlight, "a cheap digital watch with a molded black rubber strap. The LCD face was shattered. He thought the boy might have been wearing it, though he wasn't sure, but it was a kind of watch a kid would have. "What is it, a watch?" Gennaro said. "Yes, and there's a radio, but it's broken." "Is that significant?" "Yes, and there's something else." Muldoon sniffed. There was a sour odor inside the car. He shone the light around until he saw the vomit dripping off the side door panel. He touched it, still fresh. "One of the kids may still be alive," Muldoon said. Gennaro squinted at him. "What makes you think so?" "The watch," Muldoon said. "The watch proves it." He handed the watch to Gennaro, who held it in the glow of the flashlight and turned it over in his hands. "Crystal is cracked," Gennaro said. "That's right," Muldoon said. "And the band is uninjured."
"Which means?"
"The kid took it off."
"That could have happened any time," Gennaro said. "Any time before the attack."
"No," Muldoon said. "Those LCD crystals are tough. It takes a powerful blow to break them. The watch face was shattered during the attack."
"So the kid took his watch off?"
"Think about it," Muldoon said. "If you were being attacked by a Tyrannosaur, would you stop to take your watch off?"
"Maybe it was torn off."
"It's almost impossible to tear a watch off somebody's wrist without tearing the hand off, too. Anyway, the band is intact." "No," Muldoon said. "The kid took it off himself. He looked at his watch, saw it was broken, and took it off. He had the time to do that."
"When?"
"It could only have been after the attack," Muldoon said. "The kid must have been in this car after the attack, and the radio was broken, so he left it behind, too. He's a bright kid, and he knew they weren't useful."
"If he's so bright," Gennaro said, "where'd he go? Because I'd stay right here and wait to be picked up."
"Yes," Muldoon said, "but perhaps he couldn't stay here. Maybe the Tyrannosaur came back, or some other animal. Anyway, something made him leave."
"Then where'd he go?" Gennaro said.
"Let's see if we can determine that," Muldoon said, and he strode off toward the main road. Gennaro watched Muldoon peering at the ground with his flashlight. His face was just inches from the mud, intent on his search. Muldoon really believed he was on to something, that at least one of the kids was still alive. Gennaro remained unimpressed. The shock of finding the severed leg had left him with a grim determination to close the park and destroy it. No matter what Muldoon said, Gennaro suspected him of unwarranted enthusiasm and hopefulness and... "You notice these prints?" Muldoon asked, still looking at the ground.
"What prints?" Gennaro said.
"These footprints, see them? Coming toward us,